Ain't fucking around. We're the dopest podcast that is around the town. Got Cheech on the fucking beat. He already knows how to beat his meat. Shit, he's beating them keys. ADHD machete here. A bunch of drops of knowledge. Didn't go to college. Fuck yeah, it's a dope show. ADHD crew. Call all your pimps and hoes. Tell them what's what. ADHD's in town and don't give a fuck. One and two. Cheech on the beat, you know what to do. Dope show for your mom and dad. Shit's going down, motherfuckers.
That was one of our better ones, I think. Thanks. That was pretty good.
Yeah, he just came in with that hot
fire. That was like a whole minute of rapping.
No way.
Yeah, dude. It was real close.
Whoa.
You're like,
executive
you do that times four, you got a song.
I got a song. Yeah, 2 minutes. It's 2 minutes.
Two-minute songs? What is this, 1965, bro?
I love those ones that just kind of leave you with your fucking dick hard, and you're just like, what?
Like, yeah, you don't even realize how short some of these songs are. Like, all of the old Beatles songs, they're all like 2.5 minutes. I mean, everything around that time was like 2.5 minutes.
Yeah.
Some of them even less than 2 minutes. You don't even notice it, though.
What is your favorite song that you're just like, come on, just an extra fucking minute, bro, please?
That's a tough question. Yeah. You have one?
Yeah.
To think off the top of my head, I don't know.
It's a tough one, huh? Yeah, right, well, think about like
because going back to what I was saying, I can't. You don't even realize because the song's so good, you don't even really realize. Oh shit, that song's super fucking short because it feels like a complete package to me.
I think a lot of times where I'm just like, give me fucking another 4 bars, you bastard. Sometimes some of the new shit like some of Kanye's stuff that he released recently. I know it's not popular, but. He has this song, I forgot what it was called. It was off the one he did with Kid Cudi, Kid See Ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a song on there that's like fucking 2 minutes and like 30 seconds. And you're like,
really?
Motherfucker.
That's weird for today.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know. Some of the
Think long and hard. Think of some old Beatles.
I mean,
shit.
Honestly, I think about some of these Brenton Wood songs that I got on.
Who?
Brenton Wood. You know, he did like. Yeah. He did like Oogum Boogum Bum 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 Bum. And I said, Oogum Boogum 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 Boogum, now baby, you casting your spells on me. That song, that's Brenton Wood. But some of his songs are like hella short. Brenton Wood. You know that one, Oogum Boogum?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I got that remix where I'm looking for a feed in my hyena.
Oh shit. That's like a 90s jam, right? Early 90s?
Yeah. What do you got?
Let me see. That song is kind of short. Well, all of his songs are like 2 minutes. Actually, that one's a long one, 3 minutes.
Well, 3 minutes is still kind of short, though, bro.
Is it?
I think so.
Well, when I'm writing songs, I'm shooting 3 to 4 minutes. Because not right. Too short, not so too
recently,
little.
Recently, let's see how long this song is. This is Post Malone.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a fan of Post's new album? It's called Hollywood is Bleeding.
I just heard the Aussie shit.
So after the episode, I went on a deep dive, and he has this song. Such a long time. It's a fucking, I like it, man. It's a banger. It's not one of his singles, but it's not a deep cut neither. I mean, this is Post is everywhere, bro. Post is everywhere on this album. Have you did a deep dive on it yet?
No, on that album.
Okay, strap in. Check this shit out. This motherfucker is doing. Wasted on Sunday, erased you on Monday. Does that sound alternative to you? That doesn't even sound like fucking rap. It
sounds like electronic shit.
It sounds like a rock. Straight back to
guess. Like electronic rock, yeah. Maybe
that's guitar.
Like Depeche Mode, some shit. The song, yeah, it does have a little bit. It's a very unique song for him, I would say. You know what? This makes sense, because I just heard recently, like, before he started being, like, all posty when he was pre-Malone.
Yeah.
He was, like, just like a singer-songwriter. Just as like a singer-songwriter, acoustic guitar dude. And then...
Are you implying that he wrote these songs?
I think he was involved.
I think...
More than most artists.
Yeah, right. Now, well, let's go to a fucking huge pop song that he wrote.
Okay.
Allegedly.
Is this him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this fool, like, it's on the same album.
What's the name of the song?
Sunflower.
I'll tell you who wrote it.
All right, here it comes.
So, sounds like fucking Paper Planes almost.
Yeah, a lot of people say that. It's the Sway Lee is also on this.
Sway Lee is the artist.
Yeah, Sway Lee. He's on it as well. So, like, look. I'm not a big fucking post. Actually,
I thought you were down for the fool.
I'm not big. I didn't think I was gonna big on this album. Is what I'm saying.
Okay.
I wasn't really big on this on Post's new one.
Okay,
I just didn't know where he was coming from. And one time I smoked a fucking joint and I re-listened to the album after our episode, and I was like, wait a second. Wait, like, because he was just all over the place. Where it's just like, I wanted some trappy white boy,
same shit
fucking
as the last
hardcore
album.
Fucking rap singing.
Yeah,
congratulations, meets.
Yeah,
fucking, you know what I mean.
Yeah,
like I wanted some of that shit, and I was just like, this fool's pulling out guitars. Like his singles are like very guitar heavy and melodic, and I think they
actually have like chord changes and like, shit. Used to have friends, now I got enemies. Used to keep them
close, now they dead to me. Used to have friends, now I got enemies. That's enemies. This is a Circles guitar.
Sounds like some Coldplay shit.
That's what I'm saying. So it's really tough to fucking, like, what is this, like, I wasn't vibing because I didn't know.
Yeah, this sounds like. Like a rock song.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It sounds like fucking Empire of the Sun or some shit. I don't know.
Fucking
Beach House.
We don't even know. Whatever.
Check out where he goes with it, though.
I actually kind of like that.
Yeah, whoever.
That's cool.
It's really cool. But
more like alternative, more indie shit.
I'm telling you, dude. So this dude, whoever's engineering him, by the way, just turn down that fucking reverb, bro. You have that reverb on them. Like.
They're playing it against themselves because he's obviously writing songs that are not lending themselves to that heavy reverb. But the producers are like, nah, it's got to sound like the last shit.
I'm
trying to mix the old album with this new shit, and it's,
you know what I think? You know what I think is happening?
Not cool.
I think it's genre bending. I think they're thinking like some Old Town Road shit. I think that's what's happening.
Is
like
trying to do it.
It's just a combination of the fucking emo mixing with the rock, the emo mixing with the fucking rap,
with the
auto tune. But you know, I think Post doesn't really use auto tune. I think they just reverb the fuck out of his voice.
I think they use auto tune, because when he does the licks, it's like most of the time it's maybe not on, but when he hits like ooh, like you can hear like.
Oh yeah!
At the end,
like they do this
little runs.
They do. There's this.
Even on the Aussie shit, you can hear at the end of his lyrics when he does stuff like that. You can hear it like auto-tuning.
I think there's this new trend going around. I think Billie Eilish started it, where it's like you over, like almost distort the voice so hard. like, yeah, you distort the voice. You basically, like, put auto-tune on, like, too strong, mm-hmm. and it makes the voice kind of, like, stutter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see a lot of people doing that, and they did it on Post's voice a lot, too. So, yeah, does he need... I think everyone gets ran through auto-tune period.
Oh, you know, dude.
Really know.
You know what's crazy? And, you know, most of the time you don't notice it when they're good singers, and they're just doing it, and they're just putting them on pitch, really. Yeah. And you don't notice it. But now that when they do it, when you do notice it, it's when it's cranked up to 11. And,
right.
Or I think there's a third thing, which I've heard in one of my favorite bands, Weezer.
Oh,
some of their later shit, it is like, I don't think it's like the shit, like, oh, they sing it so out of, or they're doing it on purpose. It's, I think they're going fast. They're just like, fuck it. Let's just record all of these backgrounds. Cause like on, you remember that song? Girl, if you're wondering if you want, like there's the bridge part on that song is so much pain has come my way. And there's like 20 tracks of vocals in the going on. Yeah, yeah. And it's so ridiculously in tune that you could tell it's like, man, they fucking slapped the auto, the fuck out of this shit.
You don't think people are that talented?
I think so, but it doesn't sound like it. It sounds unnatural how in tune it is.
This is Billie Eilish's Bad Guy, where...
I think I have that. I can play you.
So... where she goes, I'm the bad guy.
Yeah, oh, sorry, I got some shit to tell you. I forgot.
No, this is not... She doesn't say it yet, but...
Yeah, well,
I'm a bad...
I think that's...
So that's like a thing now. It sounds like a distorted mm-hmm. voice, something that's cranked up with too much artifacts on it, but they made it a...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, let me show you this shit. That's... I think that's some other shit, but I...
No, but that's what happens. Yeah. I'm just saying that's like it's kind of like a flange, but it's like
yeah. All right, listen to this shit. That's some autotune shit. It's because you know what autotune? I fucked with the program because I have the program.
Yeah,
me and too. I use it all over the fucking my own voice, of course.
Yeah, well, you know.
I needed it desperately. But, and you know what? There is almost something that just running the vocals through it gives it like a weird, like shimmery sound.
Yeah.
And it does like affect the quality of the sound, even if you're not really tuning it that much. But especially if you start tuning it, and I totally hear that in this. And to me, it sounds like, listen, let's put out this song. It's going to be a hit. Let's just put it out real fast. It seems like they didn't take their time because they're fucking Weezer. They could have spent, you know, 4 days recording the background tracks until they're perfect. It sounded like they're just like, nah, fuck it. Let's just use, I'll tune the crap out of it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to say. Weezer, they suck. Fuck.
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn it. I wanted to like their new stuff, but it's just like...
They just came out with a new album.
All right.
I heard one song on Jimmy Kimmel.
I only heard the album before this.
Oh, you did hear it?
Not the one that just got released, the one before this. So 2018 or 2000.
Okay. It wasn't the covers one.
It was the one where they had Happy Hour.
Dude, I don't even follow them like that anymore. I don't even remember.
Well, anyway... I wanted to like them so bad.
Every time they put out a new song, I want to like
it. But the thing is that, like, it even started, all right, you know when it really started with Beverly Hills?
I like that song.
It's so whack.
That was their biggest song.
I know.
Did you know that?
Because it's whack. And people like whack shit.
That song.
Dude, the thing is, in my opinion, regardless if that was their most popular song, Beverly Hills,
biggest top chart.
Actually, I think Island on the Sun's their biggest hit. If you look at their top charts, I think.
Really?
I'm just gonna go out on a limb and say it.
Oh, by the way, before we move on, before I delete this, Post Malone has a writing credit on the song, but so do 5 other people, which is pretty normal.
Yeah, no.
But usually they don't get writing credits on the song if they didn't write it, unless they're like a fucking superstar. I feel, but you know, because they write it in their. You think he's a superstar enough to?
Oh, are you, dude?
Put his name on it, regardless.
100%. After that, his other album.
So we don't really know what the fuck it means. That
if he came off of a Stony, and was, and I don't think he gets credits, but after his other one, the one, Superstar or whatever the fuck he had, I think that's, I don't know.
Let's see. Weezer's so, biggest song.
yeah. I'm gonna guess, like, look, I do think, in my opinion, Sweater Song probably did more for the alternative movement at the time, regardless of its popularity. It was in, at the time, really helped, like, solidify a fucking, an era.
I love that fucking song, and I agree. Sweater song? That song was fucking, like,
it's amazing.
Cult shit. Like, that song, and you know what song's other fucking, I think this, was this on the first album or the second album? El Scorcho? You know that song?
Yes, that's on Pinkerton.
That song's fucking hardcore. God
damn, you have Japanese.
I don't think they did that one on the radio, did they? They had a video for it, though. So maybe it was on the radio a little bit. But yeah, people fucking love that song.
That is probably my favorite Weezer album is Pinkerton.
Pinkerton?
Yeah.
It's a fucking great album.
It's a great album. Blue's probably another one. Like, it's
really fucking good album.
The whole thing.
Every fucking song thing, is a fucking... is a fucking banger. I have
My Name is Jonas. The first song, it's just like,
I love that song too. Of course. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, in my garage.
In Buddy Holly. Love fucking Buddy Holly. Say it ain't so. In the garage. Holiday. Only in Dreams. Great way to fucking end an album. Boom, boom, boom,
yeah, it's such a good, it's such.
And that's speaking of long songs, that song's like eight minutes long or some shit.
Speaking of short songs, all right, I'll tell you the one song that has me so fucking like dick hard, ready with fucking pre-cum, but not actual cum. Yeah. And it gets me fucking pissed every time I hear it, but I listen to it 1,000 times. And every time I've listened to it probably over 1,000 times. And every time I hear it, it's always like the first time.
Feels like the first time. That
one? No, that's just not 2 minutes long.
Oh, sorry. What song?
Guess. Guess who artist it would be? It would be
artist. Can you give me a genre at least?
Rock.
Rock.
Yeah. Old rock.
Okay, now let's see if I'm gonna old rock. Yeah. Oh, we're talking about pre-90s.
Talking about classics.
Classic rock.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's tough. Is it some CCR or some shit? They kind of had some short songs. They had some
really short songs, but no, CCR is really good.
I love CCR.
All right, I'll give you 5 more chances. No. No, it's Jimi Hendrix.
Oh, which one?
Little Wing.
That one's short?
Yeah.
Really short. See, I don't notice it because I feel like when it's a song's good, it's a complete fucking package.
It's not, dude. That song needed to be. Just give me another minute, bro.
I think that song worked out pretty well for him.
Dude, I'm not saying it didn't. I'm not even saying it's a bad song. I'm not even saying that you shouldn't leave my fucking dick hard without fucking coming.
Mm-hmm.
All I'm saying is that it did that to me. That's all I'm saying.
Maybe that's what he's trying to do. He wanted to make some dick
mission,
hearts.
Mission.
Some dick hearts.
So, yeah. I do not doubt that. I say mission accomplished. Have you heard of Little Wing before?
Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe there's some people who haven't heard it, bro.
You want to hear Stats on Weezer?
No.
For number one song, Beverly Hills, 27 weeks on the chart. I think everyone's heard this song.
Shut up!
How long is it since you're looking at it? 5 minutes.
2 minutes and 16 seconds.
That's pretty short. I would say the song hasn't even started yet. This is the fucking intro. So take off with him.
30 seconds.
30 seconds. Take off 30 seconds. And he does it again at the end. Take off another fucking 30 seconds.
Oh, this is it. Well, she's walking through the crowd
with a circus mind. That's funny. Dude, I mean, this is obvious, but fucking Stevie Ray Vaughan, Eddie Vedder, John Mayer, all just jacked his swag on the guitar so hard.
Okay, first off,
Stevie Ray Vaughan, all three, they
try to jack it, but the thing is,
Stevie Ron is fucking highly overrated, dude.
Stevie Ray Vaughan?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Having said that, he does a rendition that does not even come close to
Jimi Hendrix. No. Nowhere.
But he does a rendition essentially the way you would want to hear it as a Jimi Hendrix fan.
Because it's way longer?
It's 8 minutes long. It's like, all right, look, I'm not asking Jimmy to do an 8 minute rendition of Little Wing, but give me another minute, bro.
Yeah.
God damn it. Because it ends like it ends. I'm going to fast forward to the ending because granted, there's only another minute left in the song, but I'll fast forward to the ending just to spare everybody. If you guys want to listen to it, it's off of the Axis Bold as Love album, Little Wing. So check out, here's how he ends the song, right?
Oh yeah. Damn, that is a fucking tease right there.
So hard, dude.
Stevie Ray Vaughan, he can play. He can play
fucking amazing. He's a great guitarist. You know what it is? He's a great guitarist, though. You can't front.
You know what the big knock against him for me, I think, is the reason why I don't like his music is the time period he was recording. He's recording like early 80s and shit like that, right? The production on his songs is just not, it just has like, doesn't have the vibe that I like. And it's like, even if it's a tight song, the production fucking holds it back hardcore for me.
You think so?
Yeah, watch. So that was Stevie. What am I saying? No, that was Jimi Hendrix's.
That was Hendrix. How dare you?
Now here's Stevie Ray Vaughan's. It might be hard to hear over the mic, but it's like so much like reverb and like,
yeah,
the recording's just not as cool. And I think that's a big thing that Jimmy suffered from.
Jimmy had raw fucking talent, dude.
But it's also the time period. He's recording in the 60s, so it has that cool 60s sound. And
it's not even about having a cool 60s sound. It's like you had to rely heavily on the tone. Right?
Like, before you record.
I'm not saying they switch the tone or whatever, but I think that the limitations that you're referring to are the brilliance of it. Mm-hmm. It's like when you hear like old Beatles tunes and you're just like, man, they're on point. And they're like, yo, they recorded that in one room with four microphones.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
especially that early shit.
In 30 takes per track.
Yeah. And sometimes in some cases, you know, bands from Motown and some of the, you know, people who played in like Ray Charles's band, they would get that shit down in one fucking take.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's some other shit, dude. Like, look, I'm not saying Stevie Ray Vaughan wasn't talented, but I can't get down with blues, like straight hard blues.
Yeah.
The way I can with like rock and roll blues.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just not the fucking same.
Yeah. Did you hear that, Gino? Fuck.
Well, because blues in its pure form is not, it doesn't excite me.
Yeah. No.
It doesn't. But when you add rock into it, well, it's just like.
It depends. It's kind of, when it's done really well, of course, it's awesome. Right.
Tell me who's a good blues person that I should be aware of that. Well, Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Stevie Ray Vaughan, he's the best. Best of the best. I mean, I like Ray Charles. There's an amazing album called Ray Charles Plays the Blues, which is a fucking amazing album. Actually, B.B. King, back in the day before he got, you know, sick and stuff, he actually played his ass off. He was dope as hell.
Yeah, that's really
cool. I mean, because later on in his career, like, he barely played. He would just go, meow, meow, meow. Like, he barely played. But back in, like, the 70s and shit, he was killing it.
But I can't get behind any of, like, I just don't know, like, who's, like, yeah, you can say, oh, well, Led Zeppelin borrowed blues, and mm-hmm. they took it to another level. Oh, you know, fucking, what's his name, what the fuck's that guy's name? Elvis Presley, who just essentially played blues.
Yeah.
And I get it. Mm-hmm. You know, because, but it's the amalgamation, it's the fucking collaboration, mm-hmm. and of getting bluegrass and mixing with fucking blues, dirty blues,
jazz,
mixing that up with rock, and making it into rock, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't know, with all this new music, there's also like, and to you know, bring some of the most, a little bit more modern modern stuff into the fold, and we're not just talking about old shit. Granted, these are pretty old songs now, but at the time they were pretty fucking popping. All the stuff that Kanye was putting out, I think was not, it wasn't overrated in my opinion.
You say about old Kanye or
new Kanye, bro? New, like, Kanye. Apparently, speaking of which, new Kanye's coming out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the new Kanye's coming out. You don't think so? No.
Well, I mean, did they say it was coming out? I mean, I believe
this one's called Fourth Dimension, right? Down the chimney he will come with his
red big smile, and he'll find that even a kid is. This is Kanye?
This is Kanye and Kid Cudi.
So good it should cost. Brought an alligator, I ain't talking Lacoste. Made me say, like a mix of Master P and Rick Ross. She seen it, made me always feel like a boss. She said I'm in the wrong hole.
It's 2 minutes and 30 seconds long. It's called Fourth Dimension off of Kids See Ghosts. Mm-hmm. That one let me, I was like, man, how
you like that?
He came, what, Kanye?
Yeah, I mean, you feeling that? That
yeah, no. I mean,
that sounds more like old Kanye to me.
All right, well, whatever. I think it's fucking great. I think it's one of his best fucking produced records for sure. What are you thinking?
So, speaking of that cool 60s sound, right?
Yeah.
I was telling you last week about potentially having an opportunity to go to a studio.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? So this is the dude, this guy named Gabriel Rothman. He was in Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings.
Oh, amazing. Very nice.
This is what their sound is like. And you can... never mind. That's a live album.
Very nice.
This is the kind of shit they do, right?
Very nice.
So they got that 60s song.
Well, yeah.
Okay, anyways.
That's so good.
So that's the dude. Damn. And he did Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings was a big artist for him. Mm. He worked with Charles Bradley, who was also a big...
Wow.
They recorded the Amy Winehouse stuff for like Back in Black, that album, at Daptone Records. I think he released it too.
Yeah.
So that's the dude. So on Wednesday... We remember I was telling you, like, well, we didn't know what was going to happen, but we might go to his studio, which is now in downtown Riverside.
Right.
We went. We actually went, and then we were standing there, and we didn't know why we were there. We didn't know if we were going to go just to go watch. That's what we figured. We were going to go. Me and my brother.
Okay.
Me and my brother, we figured, like, oh, okay, we're just going to go watch them play. And then when we get there, we meet the guy, Gabriel Rothman. He's super... chill guy. Right. Gabriel Roth, not Rothman. Roth. Okay. And then he shows us around his studio. It's cool, whatever. And then he starts setting up these mics. And it's like, oh, okay, they're going to do some background vocals. Which we really didn't know what the fuck was going on. But you could tell he was like,
so
hey.
So where are you? Are you in the control room?
We're in downtown Riverside.
No, I know. But in the studio, are you in the lobby? Are you inside the building? Outside of the building?
We're in the live room.
You're so in the live room, the actual performance
room. Actual performance room. Okay. He's in there.
Just so you guys know, there's usually a performance room. There's a vocal booth. It depending on how big the studio is, and then there's a control room.
So he's got it's like a rehearsal space / recording space, the lockouts that his studio's in. Gotcha. And he's got like three or four rooms. This room was the live room that we went into, and his control room somewhere else.
It's another
room. I never saw into the control room, but he had like a little bat phone that he would pick up and talk to the guy in the control room. And, So yeah, it's a big open room. They got a drum set behind a drum shield. They got a room in the back that's for like tracking guitars. I just assume because there are guitar amps in there and shit like that. And then there's organs, like right when you walk in, he's got like several different real Hammond organs and a piano. And then you could tell it must have been like converted from an apartment because there's like a little kitchen, there's a bathroom, there's an upstairs like area. It's dope. It's dope. And then
there's a shower.
There's a shower. I was in there saying, let me get on that song. No.
He lives there.
But so we're the first ones there, me and my bro. We just still don't know what the fuck we are there for. And the guy that brought us there, he went to the control room. So it was just us two and Gabriel. And who's
Gabriel?
Gabriel Roth, Bosco Man, the guy who's the producer.
All right, cool.
He owns Deptons.
Gotcha.
And
what was he saying to you?
We were just talking about like the gear, talking about like all the mics. He's setting up these old fashioned ribbon mics, huge. Okay. Like you could tell they're from like the
60s. Ribbon mics are very delicate. You could blow them out and bust them easy.
And that was the fool that brought us there. He was talking he was like just having a conversation and talking all loud right in front of one. And then he was like, oh, don't talk so close to that. Okay. Cause they can literally blow out from you just blowing into them too hard.
Yeah.
And they're old ones too. But anyway, so he's setting up the mics. I'm like, well, okay, well, obviously they're going to do some background vocals because they're just setting them up in an empty room, you know? And then people start walking in and I could tell this dude's a professional, obviously, because as these other people walk in, we just met him and he's like, oh, hey, what's your name? This is Dave and Mikey. Here, introduce them. So he introduced us to everybody. I was like, well, first of all, that's very professional. The fact that you remember everybody's name.
Yeah.
That's pretty fucking impressive.
True pro right there.
Yeah. And all these people are walking in, and by the end of it, there's like 10 people there, and we still don't know what the fuck's going on.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, okay, we're going to get started soon, everybody. And then some other chick was like, all right,
I'm going to suck everyone's dick.
All right, you're going to suck everyone's dick. No, this other chick, she's like, hey, you guys want to warm up? And she's like, let's sing na 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 na. So everyone's singing, and I'm like, okay. So I start singing a little bit, and then he's like, all right, everybody, we're gonna get going. Everyone, come over here, and I'm gonna teach you your parts. I was like, okay, what the fuck? And I was like, oh shit, I think we're gonna sing on this shit. I don't know what we're gonna sing on.
Get ready to pay my fucking day rate, bitch.
And he starts playing on the organ, playing all the different background parts.
Like what?
I mean, it was like.
What style was he playing? Like,
it's like this kind of like console.
Oh, okay.
Kind of sounds like the four tops. Yeah, kind of like the four tops, honestly. It's like, something like that. It's all high and big choral sound. So we're learning our parts. And like, I still didn't know, but I was like, fuck, I guess we're singing. And I went to the guy who brought us. So I was like, are we going to sing on this? And he's like, yeah. I was like, okay. And then, we got there, like, you know, we probably got started recording at like 10 o'clock and we stayed recording till like 3 o'clock in the morning on track for an artist that I think is yet to be announced from the record label. Cause I couldn't look for his name. The dude's song, I guess, is named Napoleon.
Dynamite.
Yeah, I guess Napoleon Dynamite, the singer, and the song was done already. All the music was there. The lead vocal was there, which was fucking killer. And, we fucking sang on the song, and this dude is fucking, it's nuts, cause he's a professional studio guy, and we're all just fucking nobody singing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all fucking losers. And he's like straight up, like he's the fucking nicest guy in the world. Cause like people would say, oh, Gabe, I think we should do it like this. And he would be like, oh yeah, you really? All right, let's try it. And he was like listening to all these people. I was like, this dude's chill as fuck, you know? Right. And that really impressed me because it was just like they were young kids, like, you know, 20, 21, 22, whatever. Right. And they were saying like, oh, I feel like if we do the a little more rounded.
Can you give me some auto-tune?
Yeah, I know. I was like, this would be a lot faster with auto-tune. But, and that was cool too. You know, we didn't, no auto-tune, just takes, just multiple takes.
So you did the same part and it took you till 3 a.m?
We did the whole song. So there was probably about like 7 or 8 parts.
Wow.
And there's 10 people. So some of the parts were in unison, you know, split up in octaves. Some of the parts were, in harmony. And so we all had to get, you know, so there was five or six different notes we were all singing. And so it took a while, and we just did takes and takes and takes. And so that's also cool. It's like that old school thing, you know, let's actually record it and not rely on autotune, which is pretty dope.
You're like, fuck.
Yeah, I know. You're, I was like, this sucks.
We would have been out here by 10 o'clock, but said we got out at 3 in the morning.
It's not so bad when you're singing in a group because you
could hide behind people.
Yeah, it's the choral effect, like, blend does you a lot of favors, you know, right. It blends the notes, you're not so out of tune, whatever. And yeah, we just recorded this track at the end of the night. He played us the playback of the song with the fucking backgrounds in there. It sounded dope as fuck. And at the end of the night, he was like, oh, I have a few of you guys, I don't have your contact information, let me get it. And so me and my brother and a couple other people wrote down our contacts on some paper, and he was like, and the dude that brought us there, he's like, this guy always needs background singers. So, you know, fucking, so this is good. This could be good for you.
Right.
And, you know, it's funny too, though, but I've been telling like my friends about this and all this shit. And then I found out that, my brother's been like super tight-lipped about it. He's like, I can't tell anybody cause I don't want to ruin this opportunity. And here I am just talking about it. I already told everybody. But
yeah,
nobody listens to this.
No one's listening. Yeah. That's
and nobody listens to me. But, yeah, so fucking.
Wow, so you think it's a good opportunity?
There's an opportunity. You might fucking get back in there if I can do some more background.
So how much you pay you?
A little bit.
You got paid?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit. Oh, I thought I was just playing around.
It was like basically like, you know, gas money plus a little bit.
Okay.
But he broke off all those people.
Oh, I like that.
And it was...
Did you have to sign anything?
No. Okay. You know, because we're not getting any credit.
Well, no. I mean, like, you know, sign that you can use your vocals and shit. You know what
I
mean?
He did say, do not tell anyone about this. Oh. I signed that before I left. I didn't think he was serious about it, though.
No, he's not. He's like, this will determine whether I'm going to use you again.
Dude, when he brought out money, I was like, you know, I'd rather just come back again. And he said, well, you're not coming back, so you're just take the money. He actually did say that. So.
He's like, I'd rather just come back again. He goes, I'd rather just give you the money.
That's basically what he said.
Yeah.
But then he laughed, so hopefully that was a joke, or he's
dead
cruel.
Serious. He's dead serious and laughing in your face. Like.
But it was crazy, man, because we're I was aware of the guy, and I knew that he worked with, I knew Daptones. I didn't know his name necessarily.
I know the Deftones too. They're good.
The Deftones, different band. Daptones. I knew the label. I knew Sharon Jones. I knew Charles Bradley. I knew he worked with Amy Winehouse, but I didn't really know his name. My brother was like all about it. He loves that sound, that 60s sound. He loves this producer. He's been following this guy's career for the last 10 years. So he was like super over the moon, stoked about this.
Wow.
And, I mean, I was too, but I just never put the connection between who the actual guy was. So it was cool meeting the guy, and we're going to be on a fucking Daptones record, man. Wow. It's pretty dope.
That's awesome.
It was really cool. Congrats,
dude.
It was really cool.
You should bring him on.
We would have been, I'll get him on. Yeah, I would have been happy just to go and watch them record.
So there's a few things that, you know, you
sound made up.
I believe you. You know, there's a few things that, you know, that I took away from the story.
Yeah.
One is
you shouldn't tell. You shouldn't tell it.
Take a cue from your brother. No. You're good. You're on all fronts. You're good. Like, it's not even about you. It's not even whatever. But how surprised you were, how he was taking suggestions from fucking idiots.
Yeah. It was a complete collaborative thing. He led the charge, obviously, but I mean, like, he was open and collaborative, for sure.
You know, that's just a good sign of a good producer. It is, because when I was, I studied Rick Rubin a lot when I was younger.
Yeah.
Huge fucking fan.
Yeah.
But I was a fan of, there's a way to when you're getting someone's performance, right? Because that's essentially what it is. A producer, there's many, like, when someone says they're a producer, there's many different ways. You're a B producer, whatever.
Yeah, what are you really?
But what Rick Rubin does is he knows how to get the best performance out of an artist.
And
he knows how. And that's, like, in my opinion, when I hear the word producer.
A real producer.
That's what I believe a producer is, when it comes to music anyway. In television and movies, and there's a whole different fucking, it's a whole different beast. But when it comes to music, you say you're a producer, that you get people in the room and you get the best performance out of them, right? Mm. Rick Rubin was essentially, he's, in my opinion, my favorite producer. He has not been producing for the past 20 years, probably.
He hasn't put out nothing?
He has, but he hasn't. It's common knowledge that all his engineers do all the fucking heavy lifting, and he just puts his name on it.
Really?
I mean, he doesn't check in with certain bands. I mean, obviously he's accredited with some of the most amazing albums.
What about
amazing.
This? Don't Break My Heart now, because I love this album, and I always give fucking Rick Rubin mad props for producing it. The Johnny Cash album.
There's no doubt.
Shit's fucking amazing.
If anything, that
was a while ago.
Yeah, he needed to be hands on for that. The opportunity to work with a legend like that. There's no way he could
pass that off. Yeah.
However, the year that he won, Stadium Arcadium came out with Red Hot Chili Peppers, and Dixie Chicks also came out with an album that same year.
And he did that?
He did both of those.
Oh, really?
And not only that, Stadium Arcadium won Album of the Year, won the Grammy, and Dixie Chicks won Album of the Year, wow. Same fucking year. I don't know how involved he was at that point. Okay. I think he's probably coming to the studio, checking in every fucking 4 days or whatever.
So maybe they sent him the tracks and he gave him. He's like, yeah,
but
it's great.
I did check him out in 1999's Fate to Black, or no, 2001's Fate to Black. My bad. Mm-hmm. They've seen the documentary, and Jay-Z's documentary.
Fucking awesome. I love it.
It's amazing, right?
But love that album, too.
There's where Jay-Z announces retiring. It's so fucking hilarious, but he was far from it. Anyway, Rick Rubin had said something like, this is before me barely getting into it or whatever. When I say into it, like into finding out what a producer does and how to... you know, how to get a good performance out of him. So Jay-Z's rapping, he's the 99 Problems, but a bitch ain't one. And he's doing it because he did produce that track, and he's in the studio with them. And I think it's Chuck D's in the studio. No.
I don't remember.
Maybe not. I can't remember. Oh, a Beastie Boy was there. I forgot which one.
Okay.
Maybe it's Mike D. Anyway, doesn't matter. What does matter is that he tells Jay-Z this. He goes, man, you elevated that song, the song, so much that I think you're going to have to redo the verse because you just put the song from here, and he puts his hand up. He goes from here, and he puts it at a low place. He goes to here, and he goes higher. Yeah. Because you took that song to another level. I think we're going to have to do the first verse again. And that's
99 Problems, right?
Yeah, 99 Problems.
Fucking great song.
So it's a great song. It's a great song. We can go deeper into that. But I did notice him positively reinforcing somebody instead of saying, yo, that fucking shit's whack, let's do it again.
Yeah, your first, that verse was good, the last one was whack.
He said, you just fucking killed this so hard that it's not gonna match the rest of the fucking album. You elevated it to another level that I think we have to do the first verse again.
That's clever, dude.
It's amazing.
It's, and fucking milking his ego.
So when you're in a room full of people and they're giving their input, and you're humbly listening to them,
these fucking losers.
Yeah, and then you're like, okay, that's good. Let's try that. And then you try it, you know. And he probably goes, that's good, but let's try it like this. And then all of a sudden, they're like, oh, he's right. He took my input, and then now, guess what? You're gonna be singing your fucking nuts off. You know what I mean?
Because you fucking mad respect.
Because you're like, fuck, this dude inputted my idea, or we're working together. As opposed to you're working for me.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the sign of a fucking A, true leader, and B, someone who's willing to do what it takes to get the best take.
Yeah.
There's people who are just like, no, this is how it is.
I was expecting, that was good. Let's try it again. Right. Try it more like this. Try it more like, and just
you in the back over there, come closer to the microphone, and you know.
And he definitely did all of that, but like you said, he listened to it, and some of the ideas, we actually did do them, and some of the ideas, you know, we kept on working with it collaboratively. It was amazing.
You basically, when you're in the presence of somebody who's so much on their shit that they're willing to let go their ego, even at their experience, to listen to somebody, and regard, maybe, you know, at the end of the day, you just don't care where the idea comes from as long as you're trying to make the song better. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the ultimate goal. There's no ego. There shouldn't be any ego, but there's plenty of ego. But someone who has that longevity, and it's such an amazing thing to be a part of. And it's cool that you are able to be in a room like that, because I've been in the room in situations very, very like seldom. You know what I mean? Am I in a situation like that? Maybe once or twice in my life where I saw a really good producer at work, you know what I mean? So, I mean,
now I'm regretting talking about it.
Yeah, you why?
You think it's bad?
What?
What, just talking about it in general? Like,
I think you're excited.
Yeah, I know that. But I mean, like,
why?
Like blowing up a spot, like I kind of said where it was. Shit.
So what are these people gonna do? Are they gonna write him a letter or what? Are they gonna,
I don't know.
Well, look, this guy's a legend. If you guys were interested in him, you could fucking Google him and find out all this information all the same.
That's true. And it's not like anyone writes those anyways.
So our email blows up. But you know, so that being said, I think it's a dope fucking feeling to be in a room with someone who has the clout and the humility, bro.
Yeah.
It's just fucking, it's powerful.
Yeah.
That's just like insane.
Legit. Insane. Yeah, cause I've been in fucking bunch of recording studios, you know, that was the legit. Legit one.
And it's not even, and like you said, it's like he had pro gear, he had cool shit, but you know, I'm pretty sure, you know, he wasn't the nicest studio. It wasn't the most fanciest studio.
No.
It's like really doesn't matter. It matters the talent. It matters, you know, your fucking tools. And that's what's the most beautiful part of like making music, you know, is that it doesn't really matter how you get there, you know, as long as you can get there.
Yeah.
You know how to use the fucking tools that you got. And when it comes down to it, you're able to be patient enough to wait for the good take, you know?
Yeah.
So, we're going to wrap up a little early this go around because we got into this music conversation and I didn't want to like completely let you off the hook for this weekend because I know bachelor party was this weekend.
I have two things for
before we wrap
for next episode for this one if you want, but
no,
we'll do it for Friday.
Yeah, we'll do it for Friday.
One's about obviously the bachelor party, just tell you a little bit, but then, something's going on the East Coast comedy scene that
we need to be aware of.
Yeah.
All right. I'm down for that. And I have some things to speak on as well. But yeah, like we've been going for a few minutes now. And I was looking at the time. I'm like, we can't get this all in.
Yeah.
So be sure to listen to us on Friday, because Friday will probably be an extra long episode. Maybe not. Find out. But you can follow us on ADHD Cast on everything. Make sure to go to our Patreon and hook us up with a couple bones, because we're a bunch of starving artists, you know, trying to get by in this world. Be sure to send us an email if you are feeling a little chatty, Kathy.
Dude, I haven't been on Twitter in a long ass time because of the East Coast drama shit. I actually checked on my Twitter. And Andrew Pearson has actually reached out a couple times on Twitter, but I just never go on it, so I had no idea.
Yeah, I took my notifications off of my phone.
So sorry, Andrew.
But, you know, it's all good. We can reconnect. We could reconnect for sure. It's the ADHD fam does not go anywhere. No, they stick around. So we appreciate all the support that you guys give us. Drop us a little rate and review if you can on iTunes. Give us 5 stars and share this shit. You know, if you can give some cash, just it doesn't cost anything to share. We really would appreciate the fucking little extra bump. And we ain't talking about cocaine either, man. Cool. We'll see you guys on Friday with some bomb topics. And be safe out there, kids.